the National Weather Service has issued a tornado warning for... Rewind. Let's watch that again with Rochelle and Zach. We are going to be talking about movies between 1990 and 2010 that really helped mold us as we grew up in the 90s. Touching down in today's episode is the 1996 action thriller Twister. I cannot wait to share with you who was the original choice for the role of Bill, but dropped out even though he already read lines with the cast. Stay tuned.
All right, real quick before we get going with anything for Twister, I'd like to talk about our last episode, The Mask. I made a mistake and I realized it and I couldn't live with it without saying something. I was doing the Mandela effects with Rochelle and I told her there's no such thing as GIF, it's actually Jiffy. I accidentally flipped those two things around. So she was right on that one. It is called GIF, not Jiffy. It's GIF, but it is a Mandela effect that a lot of people think is called Jiffy.
You guys heard it here. He admitted I was right.
Gosh, is that the way you want your voice to sound? Cough real quick for me, please.
Hold on. I'm trying.
You guys are here first.
You guys heard it here first. He admitted on the podcast that I am right. This is permanent documentation for me in our marriage that I was right. Whoop!
All right. So let's talk about Twister now that we got that out of the way.
I had to celebrate. I'm sorry.
It's fine. Twister is a 1996 American epic disaster film directed by Jan de Bont, who's known for movies such as Speed, Die Hard, Lethal Weapon 3, The Haunting, and Cujo. Wait, I thought, Stephen King wrote the book. Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah, so I don't, Steven Spielberg's name popped in my brain, but I was like, wait, I think it was Stephen King that wrote the book. All right, well, sorry, go ahead.
Steven Spielberg does have something to do with Twister, though.
Correct.
So yeah, that's probably where that connection came. Yeah, but anyway, we'll talk about that later on. Okay, picture it. June 1969.
There.
A young family takes shelter from an impending tornado. The dad, in an attempt to save his family, tries to hold the storm cellar door down, but gets sucked into the tornado and killed. Despite the horror of the storm and losing her father, a young Joe is entranced by the tornado. Switching to present day, we see meteorologists at the National Severe Storms Laboratory, or NSSL, are discussing a building storm system over Oklahoma, which could produce a record outbreak of tornadoes. In the meantime, retired storm chaser Bill Harding, who is played by Bill Paxton, and his fiancée, Dr. Melissa Reeves, played by Jamie Gertz, are heading out to meet Bill's former storm chasing team to get the final divorce papers from Bill's soon-to-be ex-wife, Dr. Jo Harding, played by Helen Hunt, who, since the day her father died, has sworn to hunt down as many tornadoes as possible, not wanting the same fate to happen to someone else. We get the suspicion that Joe is stalling to sign the papers because she is still in love with Bill and does not want the marriage to end. She tells him she was wanting him out on the field because of his idea for a tornado analyzing device called Dorothy has finally been built. They are planning to put it in the path of a tornado to measure it from the inside. One of the crew members tells them of storm activity and they all head out. While heading for the tornado, their rival team shows up, led by Dr. Jonas Miller, played by Cary Elwes, who is, as they say, in the storm chasing business for the money, not the science. After Bill sees Jonas giving an interview to some local reporters and finds out that Jonas has stolen his idea for the Dorothy weather machine, that he built his own version, he decides to stay with the team for one day in an attempt to beat Jonas. The team come up against a few different sized tornadoes in challenging situations in attempts to get Dorothy in the tornado's path. This is not what Melissa expected or signed up for. She realizes that Bill still has feelings for Joe and vice versa. So she decides to end their engagement, saying it would have happened sooner or later and that Joe needs him. So she leaves Bill, even though Joe just finished signing the divorce papers moments earlier.
Later, they hear on the radio that the meteorologists are predicting a rare F5 tornado, or a couple of them. Joe comes up with the idea of how to make Dorothy fly from watching some of Aunt Meg's wind chimes before. The team starts making pinwheels out of aluminum cans and screws them onto the sensors to be able to make them fly. A few hours later, at the butt crack of dawn, the team happens upon a ginormous F5 tornado. They put Dorothy 3 on the road in front of the tornado and then back up. But the winds push Dorothy around because it's too light, and then a tree knocks it over, scattering the sensors all over the ground. The storm turns toward Bill and Joe, and they attempt to drive away. They become stuck on a tree with wedges underneath them on the back end of their truck. After escaping, they see Jonas and his driver ahead, ready to intercept the tornado and place their sensor machine. Bill and Joe, though, they notice that Jonas is driving too close to the tornado, and they try to warn him that it's about to change course, but he ignores them. The tornado then hurls a section of what looks like a TV tower through their windshield, impaling the driver. Both teams watch in horror as Jonas's truck is lifted up by the tornado and thrown to the ground where it explodes, killing both Jonas and his driver. Bill and Joe then realize there's only one option left. They have to head toward the new intercept point and decide to turn Dorothy 4 on without taking it out of the back of the truck to be able to make it more heavier so that the tornado can lift it up. So they put the cruise control on the truck and they drive it towards the tornado and they jump out, letting it drive into the tornado where it successfully finally deploys Dorothy 4 and its sensors. As the team celebrates their victory watching the sensors work, they notice the tornado is shifting. Bill and Joe also notice it and run to a nearby farm. They take cover in a smaller building. They tie themselves with leather belts to the pipes in the shelter. The tornado destroys the shelter. They're pulled upside down while anchored to those pipes, and they get to see firsthand the inside of an F5 tornado as it passes over them. Moments later, the entire storm goes away. Bill and Joe then try to decide who will do what with the new data from Dorothy while the rest of the team arrives. The movie ends with them deciding to stay together with a little, once again, kissy-kissy while the team celebrates their accomplishment. I've noticed kissy-kissy is on the end of like every single one.
You did it to me in the last one, so I felt like I could do it to you. Did you like my butt crack of dawn?
The butt crack of dawn got me. That made me flinch.
All right.
It's weird seeing it butt crack wrote down. I'm going to say, like, you can say it and it sounds normal, but like,
it doesn't throw you off guard or anything.
No, but seeing it wrote down, that threw me off guard. Those two words do not belong together.
That's why it's a crack.
That's a terrible joke.
Oh,
that
tried.
Is so bad. That was the what? I don't know. Can we move on? That was so bad. Like, I feel. I'm a little nauseous.
Okay. All right.
That's why it's a crack.
What the heck? Okay. So Twister was a big budget blockbuster boasting an epic visual spectacle and state-of-the-art special effects. As such, it was the ideal film on which to introduce a brand new home entertainment medium, promising consumers an enhanced viewing experience. This format was, of course, the digital versatile disc, aka digital video disc, aka the DVD. Twister was the very first film made commercially available on DVD in the United States. Warner Brothers Home Entertainment released the film to the shiny new format in March of 1997. Within less than a decade, DVD would become the dominant form of physical media for home entertainment worldwide, ending the reign of the VHS tape.
Man, I had no idea about that. I even double checked it whenever I saw that you had put that down.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, can that be true? And I guess that DVD was released in Japan first in the end of 1996,
mm-hmm.
and then in America in 1997. And that's just amazing that this was the first video that was commercially available to be able to purchase via DVD. Now, I will say, do you remember going into the video rental store here in town? And these DVDs were coming out. Like, what the heck are these things? What are they going to change it now? I'm not going to buy a DVD player because they're going to change it before I get another chance to buy something else.
Well, I don't remember that exactly. I remember my dad coming home. It was in the summer. Coming home from one of his Europe trips with his students and telling us about how this one DVD cost $60 or something like that. And it's like, that's ridiculous. I remember thinking how expensive that was. And it was for the movie Return to Me.
Return to Me,
mistaken.
Is that the Hart one?
Yeah.
I like that
Great one. Movie. We'll do that sometime down the road for sure.
Yeah, that's I have that one in my classroom. That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you, knowing your dad, though, that DVD that he had was probably in the summer of 97 because your dad likes to get those new fun things.
Oh, for sure. And there's a very good possibility I have intercepted that DVD and it's here in our house. More than likely
That's possible.
Yep. Sorry, Mom and Dad.
All right. The production budget for Twister was reportedly somewhere between $88 and $92 million. This means the Twister was among the most expensive movies ever made in the mid-90s. This being the case, the movie needed to be a real blockbuster for the investment to pay off. Happily for studios Warner Brothers and Universal, who collaborated on the film, Twister was indeed a huge hit. The final worldwide earnings were about $496 million worldwide, which was a huge box office sum at the time. This made Twister the second biggest movie of 1996, right behind Independence Day, which earned $817 million.
Days with Sunshine posed a problem because they did not make the background skies look suitably stormy. In order to fix this and
they
prevent
were
delays...
unsuitably stormy.
In order to fix this and prevent delays, several scenes, such as the truck cab sequences, had to be flooded with high-intensity Klieg lights for better contrast. As a result, Helen Hunt and Bill Paxton suffered minor retinal burns through much of the filming. After consulting with an ophthalmologist, both Paxton and Hunt were prescribed eye drops to help heal their wounded retinas. In addition, special filters were placed on the lights to avoid any further injuries to cast or crew. Of course, such an injury to lead actors meant there were further delays to the already troubled production.
That's crazy that, you know, they added these filters afterwards. Mm-hmm. So that means that there was already the ability to add the filters beforehand. Why wouldn't they just do it beforehand? Why would they risk it? I don't know.
They probably just didn't think of it at the time, unfortunately.
Uh-huh. Okay. I mean,
really, unfortunately.
He's so Pete. I couldn't. That would be silly to like, oh, well, you're going to have to do this blind now because you can't see. So.
Right. And then there goes their career if they actually really lost their vision permanently.
Yeah, they wouldn't see what's coming. That's for sure.
Temporary blindness was just one of the ailments which Twister's lead actors had to endure. In another scene, Helen Hunt and Bill Paxton get covered in thick mud under a bridge. You might assume all that was just makeup, but as they were shooting on location with practical rain and wind FX, much of the dirt was real. Some of the detritus or debris whipped up by the wind got into the eyes of both Helen and Bill. Because of the risk of infection, both actors had to be given shots for hepatitis.
You said wind FX?
Special effects.
Yeah, they put FX because it's short like for effects. You don't have to say FX. You say effects.
FX. Effects. Like
effects. That's cute.
As if dealing with that wasn't enough, Helen Hunt suffered further injuries shooting Twister. A great deal of the film follows the cast whilst they're in cars and trucks, chasing the ongoing tornado. And all this driving gets a bit bumpy at times. One risky sequence saw Hunt's character open her car door while driving through a cornfield. And when Hunt momentarily lost her grip on the door, it hit her in the head. Some of those close to the production have said that Hunt wound up with a concussion because of this accident. Quizzed on the matter, director Jan DeBont said, "I love Helen to death, but you know she can be a little bit clumsy." Hunt herself did not take too kindly to this. Her response was, "Clumsy? The guy burned my retinas, but I'm clumsy." As we later on see, Hunt and DeBont have not worked together since then.
Yeah, so that kind of goes back to what I was saying a little ago, where it's like, why wouldn't you do this already, like with those filters?
They just didn't think of it.
Yeah. Now, actually, before I move on, Rochelle, did I ever tell you the time that I was driving and a tornado was coming, like, behind me? Did I ever tell you that story? Like, I told you the two that went through my backyard whenever I was younger.
And but then when I you were at the 4-H fair with the kids for the circus?
Yeah, no. No, this one, I was in the car driving. I was probably in college, I think it was, and it was on the road behind me. Did I tell you that one?
Uh-uh.
So, whenever I was in college, I was driving, and the National Weather Service, like Rochelle tried to do, at the very beginning, went off into the car, and I was like, oh my gosh, what the heck? Like, that, whenever I hear that sound, it really scares me, and it gets me going.
Mm-hmm.
And they said the same county that I was actually driving in, and I looked up, and I saw that there's a tornado behind me. And so I picked up the speed, unfortunately, but I
ended unfortunately up,
because it's illegal. I was driving down this road, then I hit road construction. I know, it was really scary. And, but the weird thing was, these construction workers, they were taking their signs and like throwing them towards the tornado. And I was like, "What are you doing?" And they're like, "We're just throwing caution into the wind."
Oh my god. Oh, I think we're all groaning on that one. And I know you're happy with that joke.
I'm so happy with that one. We're not in Kansas anymore, people.
Lord.
I think you've said Lord every single podcast. I think you have. Twister opens up with the prologue scene showing Helen Hunt's Joe as a child losing her father in the tornado. This is really an important plot point because it gives its character its backstory about her fixation that she would have on the destructive weather phenomenon. However, it was not always planned for it to be that way. Jan DeBont actually thought about doing it where she had nightmares and they would do flashbacks about these nightmares throughout the entire movie. But DeBont realized that it wasn't really working that way whenever he was doing the editing. So he approached it differently, and they did a last-minute prologue written in, and they filmed it last-minute with reshoots. But a fun fact is that the young Joe that plays in the very beginning prologue when she's a little girl is Alexa Vega, who went on to appear in the Spy Kids movies as...
the daughter? Like the main character. I can't remember her name, but she's one of the main characters. She's
Lava
the...
Lava Girl?
No, that's Shark Boy and Lava Girl. She is...
That's the... not the same movie?
No. Uh-huh. No, not at all. She is the main character in there.
I had no idea. That's I don't think I really watched Spy Kids. Is that the one with the kid from
they are kids and they spy?
No, they're the kids from Twilight.
No, not at all. That's Shark Boy and Lava Girl.
I think that's the same movie.
No,
I don't know. I'll have to.
Antonio Banderas is in this movie.
Oh.
He plays the dad. Yeah.
It's not the same movie? I don't think
not
I've
Shark
never,
Boy and Lava Girl.
I've never watched any of those movies, so I just thought it was the same movie.
I remember seeing at least Spy Kids 1 and 2. But like I said, her name of the character evades me, except that she is the main character, the daughter, and that Antonio Banderas is in it.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
According to Variety, an altered recording of a camel's moan help create the storm sounds. I like, too, that you put in here. It was also reported that a lion's growl and a tiger's snarl were remixed as a tornado audio.
Yep.
Instead of just being like a lion and a tiger's growl, you don't call a tiger's growl. You call it a snarl.
Yeah.
That's...
creative.
That's a word.
Snarl.
Carl.
As I mentioned in the beginning of this podcast, there was an actor that was originally chosen to play the lead role of Bill Harding, and that was Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks had read the lines with the cast, and he even chose the character's wardrobe, which stayed in the final film. But he dropped out of it pre-production and said that it just wasn't what he was trying to do with his career at that time, and it called for an eccentric man with a southern flair, and that just wasn't him. But while on the set for Apollo 13, which came out in 1995, Hanks felt his co-star, Bill Paxton, was perfect for this part in the film and helped Paxton land the role. Mel Gibson, Kevin Costner, Dennis Quaid, John Travolta, Richard Gere, John Cusack, we could go on. They were all possible for the consideration of this, but Tom Hanks was the main one. And I read somewhere too that Jan de Bont had his heart and mind set on Helen Hunt as the lead role, but because of her doing Mad About You, she was just known for doing her TV shows only, not movies, he wasn't sure if he could get her. So he still had to do the auditions, and every person that came in, he said, sorry, I have to do this to say that I did these auditions, but my mindset on Helen Hunt. Thank you. Can you imagine walking in and being told that? I'd be like, what?
I just, like, you wasted my day. Like, you wasted my entire time. Why?
Yeah.
Could you not have said that over the phone? We could have, like, pleaded out that I came in.
I think he just had to cover his butt and say, I held auditions. And legit, people did actually come in. And
do you have to hold auditions, though? Like, can you not just be like,
I
want this person? I guess probably for, like, you know, the production team.
Yeah,
and
because,
then
I mean,
like,
they spent a lot of money on this movie. He probably had to cross his T's and dot his I's, and he found himself a loophole, you know, with that one.
Something too that, like,
I'm just here so I don't get fired.
Fine. I'm just here so I don't get fined.
Fine.
Next question. I'm just here so I don't get fined. Beast mode. You know, we've done this now. This is our, what, fifth episode?
Mm-hmm.
And we keep talking about, like, people who were the original choices or also in the running. It makes me wonder what these movies would have actually looked like with different people in those roles.
Right.
And then what it would have actually done to their acting career. Like,
right.
I'm thinking of Tom Hanks. The guy's super successful. Like, very successful.
Mm-hmm.
If he would have done this movie, would he have been as successful?
Right. Which he actually, he went on to do That Thing You Do, which is based on a band from the 50s.
Tom Hanks?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was the like the manager or something. I remember watching
it
before.
I've never heard of that one.
That's cute.
Cute?
Yeah, cute.
Oh.
Cute. And Laura
Is
Dern.
Is it a romantic movie?
It's kind of like a biographical. There's some romance in it, but yeah, it's kind of a biographical movie. But I don't know how true it is. We'd have to look into that another time. But anyway, Laura Dern was also considered for the role possibility. Like, if they truly couldn't get Helen because of the show Mad About You, Laura Dern was going to be the next option.
So this movie Twister features this supporting role from Philip Seymour Hoffman as this person named Dusty. This character is kind of a slob. He's full on 90s clothes. Everything's loose fitting, which leads to an unforeseen problem during the filming. There's a moment when Dusty's laughing heartedly and he leans back, lifting up a leg. In the early cut of this film, you can actually see his private parts showing that should not be showing up his shorts. So because of this, Twister's CGI team had to quickly augment the shot to be able to hide the offending regions, thereby avoiding any possible issues in viewing the movie.
They did a good job because I had no idea.
None.
Until I read anything about this, or even reading that they edited out lots of curse words or dubbed it over. I did not pick up on any of that whatsoever. So they did a really good job at that. But I thought that was funny, though, reading about that. As is often the case with major productions from Universal, Twister inspired an attraction at the studio's theme parks. In May 1998, 2 years after the movie was released, Twister, Ride It Out opened at the Universal Studios Resort in Orlando, Florida. The indoor special effects show was introduced in the building that previously housed Ghostbusters Spooktacular. Filled with references to the film, the event gave guests a safe simulation of what tornado conditions might feel like. Twister, ride it out, ran for 19 years until declining popularity saw it replaced with Race Through New York with Jimmy Fallon. I remember doing this ride whenever my parents and I went to Universal when I was, I think it was eighth grade. So it had been 2004. Yeah, 2004 is when I got to do that ride.
Yeah, it was, I mean, I didn't think it was that fun, no. To be honest. So it's okay that they replaced it, but
it was cool though, because I mean, cool as in like cool temps, because it's really hot there in Florida and you're getting splashed with some water. So sure, yeah. But for me, this is an amazing movie. I'm going to say this now. This is an amazing movie. However, I mean, who isn't scared of tornadoes? But because of this movie, I became even more scared of tornadoes. I love thunderstorms. I love when it rains. I am a baby when it comes to tornadoes. And this and tornadoes is my reoccurring nightmare that I have. And it's, I just can't know. It's because of this movie. Even though this movie is great and I love watching it and I would watch it over and over with my brother, I am so scared of tornadoes. And doing that simulation, because of my fear, it was a little bit scary. But then I was
the one at Universal?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I have a vivid imagination, as you know. So, yeah. It wasn't like how Back to the Future is or any of those other rides were at Universal, but it definitely it had scary moments for me. And I had to kind of remind myself a few times, this is fake. It isn't real. I am okay.
So they say that the ride ran for 19 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm guessing the earliest that it would have came out was in 1996? 97.
96 is when the movie came to theaters.
Maybe 97. So that's 2016 maybe was the last year that was available. That's crazy that it was there for that long. Now I will say we've been to Universal whenever Race Through New York with Jimmy Fallon is there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's never any lines for that ride.
So that one's probably declining now too.
Yeah, but it's not been around for very long. I thought that would have been around for a lot longer too, because literally that's the one that always has like a 5-minute wait. So
it never interested me when we went. I never had the desire. Of course, my overwhelming desire was Harry Potter World there. So I really didn't care too much of anything else. I just wanted Harry Potter World and my butterbeer.
Now, last thing about that I want to talk about is the town of Okita. That's Aunt Meg's town whenever we're talking about the movie.
Okay.
This town actually has what we would call the Twister Museum that's celebrating the tribute of the movie. And it has memorabilia, photos, movie posters, and a replica Dorothy machine, actually, in the museum itself. The museum director, Linda Wade, shared that Wakita was chosen for the movie because in 1993, they had a really, really bad hailstorm that destroyed many buildings and houses of the town. So the town was already in destruction mode. So it was a win-win. They basically said, yeah, we have houses that need to be torn down. You have a movie that needs to be made with a bunch of houses being torn all over the place. So she said they needed debris. So basically the whole town was their set. 5 blocks, sidewalk to sidewalk, head high debris. They would just make a mess of the whole town because everything needed to come down anyways.
That worked out really well for them, for sure.
They got lucky. Now, I can imagine a hailstorm
doing that much damage.
I mean, I've seen it do damage to like cars and roofs and stuff, but like to be able to say we need to tear this whole house down.
That's insane.
Man, yeah. I hate to. Oof.
No, thanks. I mean, I can't even imagine living in any of those areas because
of Tornado Alley.
Yes. Oh, well, yeah. See, I briefly lived in Missouri and I was so scared because we were close right there next to Kansas, of course. And nope, was not having it. Zach, is there anything else you'd like to share?
Yes, there is.
What's that?
Just to imagine, you know, during this whole thing, there was just a man behind a sheet with some sheet metal making some noise in a booming voice. Just amazes me. What? The Wizard of Oz.
Oh. Are you proud of that one?
No, let's go. I'm done.
Okay. Well, this has been Rewind. Let's watch that again. Please look for us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter under the same name and follow us for updates on future episodes. Each new episode will drop every Wednesday, where we will go into depth on another film we consider to be a classic from the 90s and 2000s. Also, feel free to send us an email about what you thought of it or if you have any comments on the show. We would love to hear from you. You can contact us via those social media outlets or email us at rewindletswatchthatagain@yahoo.com.